Okay, so we are going to go from the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph, the bottom of 10a, Maskif Lo Rav Sheshes. No, Maskif Lo Rav Zera. Let's go up. Yeah, let's go up one more, just to, so we do all of these cases. As I said, we sort of the one digs a pit to 9, and the second one digs a pit to 10. So that was the classic cases we quoted, the Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe, right? Chovah Bar Tisha. That was the majority opinion. That we said yes. Rebbe Omer Acher and Chayev Lamisa Acher Shnehem LeNezikin. So that was the, as I said, the debate between the majority view and Rebbe's view. And we had a little bit of a discussion in the Gemara as to whether Rebbe's view fits into the Mishnah or not. Either way, that general case, at the very least, according to the majority opinion, fits the Mishnah very nicely. Now, Maskif Lo Rav Zera, about 5-6 lines from the end, he says, Vesu Leka, isn't there another case which also fits the Mishnah very well? V'ha'ika, there, what about the following case? Mostar Shoro Lechamisha B'nei Adam. You give over, I think we did this one, but as I said, it fits the theme. So we'll just run through it quickly. You give over your ox to be watched, or you give over something to be watched by 5 people. One of them wasn't really paying attention. One of them wasn't doing their job. He left the scene or whatever he did. He wasn't really doing much, and something happened to this ox, or this ox caused damage, right? His animal caused damage. Then chayev, that person is liable. So hechidomi. How exactly does this work? The Gemara wants to know, right? Is this really a case of someone doing half, you know, part of the damage and yet being liable for the whole thing? So he said, no. Heichidomi ilema, if you're going to tell me the belav ihu, that without that one person, lo hava mintar, that because this ox was a proper, you know, big, big, big ox and required 5 people to look after it, because of this one person not missing, who was missing, rather, then it was not considered a proper, it was not considered properly guarded, right? And then Pshita, says the Gemara, right? That's obvious, i.e. that's not telling me he didn't do part of the damage, the Ihu Ka'ovid, right? He did all of the damage, he did all of the Pshia, all of the negligence, because the fact that one person, the first person to leave, is a bit like a minion, I guess, in one sense, right? When you're not there, one person leaves, then that's it, right? So you're lacking. The point is over here, you need 5 people to look after this. Once one person leaves, it is not looked after, and therefore the one person who left, the one person who wasn't doing their job properly, right, it is automatically, as soon as their actions have caused it to not be guarded properly, and therefore they're going to be, that's obvious, says the Gemara, and the implication being, right, that this is not, it's not that they did part of the damage, they did all of the, or not just part of the negligence, they did all of the negligence, and therefore they're going to be liable for the whole thing. So it doesn't really fit our, that case doesn't fit into our Mishnah's statement. You can't have it, right? Ella the belav hachi, but if you flip it over and you say no, even without this person, even nami mintar, right, it was enough. 4 people were plenty to take care of this animal, so this person leaving really didn't do anything. So then flip it over, then Mike Ovid, right, what exactly did they do? In the implication being that they're going to be, well, the implication being that they're either going to be not liable at all, right, which I think is a bigger chiddush to say, but let's come back to that. We'll come back to that on the next piece. I think the Rishonim talk about that. Or perhaps simpler to say, no, you just split it, right? You have 5, I appoint 5, 5 shomrim, 5 people to look after, 5 guardians, and something happens, then all 5 of the guardians are going to be liable. They're going to split the payment. Okay, Maskif Lo Rav Sheshes. So we leave that case aside. Doesn't really fit our Mishnah. Again, whether you're liable, you're not. The point is, it's not partial negligence or partial involvement. Maskif Lo Rav Sheshes, a new case. Rav Sheshes suggests, right? Isn't there another case as follows? Marbe b'chavila. So you add on to the stacks, right? The chavilas are like the bundles, right? You add another bundle. Heichidomi, what exactly is the case? So Rashi says b'chavila. I think it's over here. So I think Rashi says we're talking about a fire where you're adding on the bundles and the fire spreads as a result of the bundles. I think the Rambam says that we're talking about when we talk about chavila, we're talking about adding on bundles to an animal, and then the animal gets hurt as a result of the bundles on its back. But either way, the point is you added on one person added on this last one, the straw that broke the camel's back, in a sense, according to the Rambam, right? Or the last bundle within the fire. So if without this, then it would not manage to, as I said, we'll talk about the fire case because it's simpler just to keep it as one case. So if without this last bundle, if I wouldn't have spread as far as it did and wouldn't have caused the damage, then pshita, right? Obviously, this last person adding on that last bundle, which is what ultimately caused the fire to cause this damage, then obviously that's not partial involvement. That's the entire involvement, right? This fire would not have caused that damage because of this last bundle. It did cause that damage. Therefore, you are entirely responsible. You have not done part of the responsibility. You've done the whole thing. So, rather without this one person. So now again, we'll flip it around. Maybe we'll say that without this person, it would have still gone and caused this damage. So Micah of it, what exactly has this person done? And therefore, again, what's the implication? The implication is, so look at Rashi over here. So Rashi says basically the sort of the first of the skinny lines, right, over here, or starting at the end of the wider line above. Micah of it, what exactly did you do? Rashi says, V'eino chayev klum. Right, you're not going to be liable at all. Right, you're not going to be liable at all. So that's that's a much bigger chiddush to say that this person is now not liable at all. I.e., you had a fire. It sounds as follows: you had a fire. Well, I guess in this case, okay, it works a little better. In the previous case, did Rashi say the same thing? I'm not sure. Okay, so maybe Rashi doesn't say that, but let's at least focus on this case. You have this fire. The fire is going to cause damage, and I add into the fire. Yes, I do add into the fire, and the fire ends up causing damage. So Rashi says you're not liable at all, right? Because the fire would have caused damage anyway. Tosfos says no. Tosfos says, so this is the top Tosfos, top right. He says, Micah Ovid, Bekulosh Maiten, right? He says in each of these cases, in all of them, it basically ends with this phrase, Micah Ovid, what exactly did they do? Sorry, Chloe says what it really means is my ka'ovid tfei me'acharini. What did they do more than the others, right? I.e., there are multiple people involved here. The last one didn't do any more than anyone else. Not that they didn't do anything significant, and therefore they're going to be exempt altogether. But they did as much as everybody else. They did no more than anyone else. V'yishalim kol echad. And each one pays their portion, i.e. you split it evenly. So even the last one is going to be part of this. Right? You shouldn't say that they are exempt. So we see here an interesting machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Now, at the very least, in this case, as I said, it's an interesting debate. I think it's harder to say in the previous case. Maybe that's why Rashi didn't say that over there. So in the previous case where you have five people guarding and one of them leaves, it's hard to say that they're not liable at all, right? Because they've been appointed, right? In this last case, where the damage is caused by the fire, you could say it would have happened anyway, and therefore, yes, their actions are so insignificant, according to Rashi, that they're not liable at all. So it disagrees. So it says no. So it says, yes, in a sense, their actions are insignificant, but in a sense, you know, what they did was an act that would have led to this damage, and the damage was caused, and therefore, or really did lead to this damage, and therefore this damage was caused, so therefore they're going to be at least as liable as everybody else. So you're going to have to split it between everybody who was involved in this fire, which ultimately caused the damage. Okay, everybody with me on that? Anyway, just interesting debate between Rashi and Tosfos over there. Okay. It'd be interesting to see what the Rambam says on this, actually, because he says it's talking about this, as we say, the straw that broke the camel's back. Right. Oh, it's interesting also, according to the Rambam, you have to switch it around, right? Because, yeah, you have to say that it would have moved, i.e. it wouldn't have moved without this. Rather, it does move with this. It could have continued to go on, and yet something happened to it. But either way, as I said, you just sort of switch around the language slightly. Okay, so we've had two suggestions. Neither of them seem to fit within our Mishnah, but the principles themselves still obviously interesting. Yes.
Here looks like we're talking about one person tending the fire.
Well,
and through his action, acting alone, the fire spread.
It doesn't sound like it's about looking after, but it's about starting the fire in a sense. One person started the fire, but the fire wouldn't have gone anywhere, right? It wasn't really enough to manage. Well, that's the question. Either it was enough to manage to go and to cause damage, or it wasn't until this person comes along. So if it wasn't enough to cause damage without the second person coming, you know, to add their bundle, then they're obviously going to be liable. And if it was enough, then they're going to split it. Well, then that's the debate we just said, right? Either you split it or the first person's liable, right? That's the Yes, but you're right. There is a slight distinction between the cases. Okay. So now we are, two lines down, the top of Yud Amud Bet. Maskifla Rav Papa. Rav Papa now suggests another one. I think Rav Papa was one of the earlier, and Rav Papa was in the previous one. Okay. So we've had Rav Zera suggested one, Rav Sheshes suggested one, Rav Papa now suggests another one. Vahikar, right, now we have another potential case which fits into our Mishnah, fits into the line in our Mishnah. Right, we have the following brasa. Hey, sheyoshvu al safsal echad. You have five people sitting on a bench. Velo shavruhu. They didn't break it. Uva echad v'yoshav olav. The sixth person came along. V'shivro, and it's a lovely case. It's on. V'shivro and breaks this bench. Right. Ultimately, ha'acharon chayev. So that's what the brasa says. The last one is going to be liable. The Omer of Papa, Kagon Papa Bar Abba, he says it has to be a proper, you know, Kagon Papa Bar Abba. Who is Papa Bar Abba? Rashi clarifies, Shahaya Baal Bossar. He's a big fella. Yeah, exactly. He's a big fella. Baal Bossar means literally a master of flesh. You know, it's like a big, he's a big fella. So someone like Papa Bar Abba, that's who we're talking about. The last big guy comes along and then the bench collapses, right, as soon as he sits down. So still, the Gemara wants to drill down. Hey, Chidami, what exactly does this mean? Ilema, we're going to assess, right? We're going to assess. Ilema, if we're talking about a case, dibelav ihu lo isbar, right? Without this last person sitting down, without this big guy coming along and sitting down on the bench, it would have been fine, right? The five people on there was sufficient. It wouldn't have broken. So then, Pshita, right, again, similar theme to what we've had until now. Pshita, then the point is it's not a joint effort, right? The point is this one person has broken it, right? Pshita Sheha Acharon Chayev, right? That the last one is going to be liable. Okay, yes. So let's finish off this case and then we'll discuss the details of it. Ella de belav ihu. Or let's flip it around, right? We're saying no. Without that person, ihu namim isbar, the bench was going to break anyway. Five people was too much for this bench, right? Micah of it. And then the Gemara says, yeah, so then what does he do, right? What's the difference? So masnisa. Right, so what exactly is the? It just doesn't fit into our Mishnah, right? Either way, it's not really. Not the Mishnah into this Brisa, right? The Brisa says he's liable. There's no reason he should be liable if we're talking about it being a joint effort, right? That with these five people, it would have broken as well, right? Then exactly what exactly did the person do? So lo tzricho. Dibalav ihu, we are talking about a case that without this person, right, have a misbar, it still would have broken, but betray shoti, it would have taken a couple of hours. Vahashda isbar b'chadasha, now it's a lot quicker, 1 hour or whatever it is. The point is that it happened much faster, right? It would have lasted longer. The people were on it, yeah, it would have been okay. They can sit on there for a few minutes at a time or a couple of hours at a time, but now that this fellow comes along, it breaks much sooner, and therefore this person is doing potentially half, you know, only part of the damage, but now that he's hastened it, right, then then it sounds like, at least at this stage of the Gemara, that he's going to be liable for the whole thing, right? He's going to be liable for all of the damage. So, right, about 8 lines down. Da omrile, because they could say to him, right, this is their claim. Well, again, whether or not they claim it, this is the theoretical claim that they would make. Ilav at have yosvinon tfei purta, right? If it wasn't for you, we would have got up in time, right? We were only planning on being here for a little bit longer. We'd have got up, right? The kayom, right? And then everything would have been fine, right? The fact that it's broken, right, is because you came along, and therefore, even though we were only there for a short amount of time, it still managed to break. Right? We'd have got up beforehand. Velemalahu, but he says back to them, potentially, right? Ilav atun bedidi lo hava misbar, right? If it wasn't for you guys, then it wouldn't have broken at all, right? I.e. just me sitting on this bench, if I would have been on my own, then it wouldn't have broken at all. So the fact that I came along, yes, and sat down on it, but still, it's a joint effort, right? In the sense it required all six of us to actually cause this damage, and therefore, it is potentially this case. So lo tzricha. No, so the Gemara again sort of changes approach and says no. Dibahadi de samich bahu tovar, right? It's not that he sat down on the bench, right? When he came along, dibahadi de samich bahu tovar, he leaned on them. Right, he leaned on the people. He sat on the people, and therefore they were unable to get up. Right, the fact that he was on top of them, they weren't able to get up, and therefore he's going to say again. So the Gemara responds, "Shita." Right, that's obvious. Right, what exactly is the Gemara telling me? If I force 5 people to stay on the bench, yes, it would have taken six. That took 6 months to break it. But the fact that I forced the first 5 to stay on there, right? That's also, again, obvious, right? Well, obviously, I'm going to be the one who's liable because I've done all of the damage. So, Mahu de Tema, says the Gemara, what might I have thought? What's what we call the Hava Amina, right? Means I would have thought one thing, and therefore, this is the Chiddush, as it were, of the Braisa. The Braisa is telling us that you're liable, even though you might have thought otherwise. What might I have thought? Mahu de Tema, Kocho Lav Kagufo Domi, that your strength, right, or your force, the exerted force, rather than you yourself, rather than you causing the damage, you were causing it in a sense through an intermediary. So Kochalav Kagufo Domi, Komash Malanta. I might have thought that Kocho is not the exact same thing. The fact that I'm leaning on people who are then leaning on the bench, which is causing the damage, that wouldn't have been me directly causing the damage. So kamash malon de kocho kagufo domi. So therefore, the Bryce is teaching me this principle that kocho is kagufo. That the fact, even though I'm doing it indirectly, even though I'm only doing it through, as I said, through my strength rather than through my actual self, through my actual person, then nevertheless, I'm still going to be liable. And that's really where the kamash malon de kocho kagufo domi de chol heicho. The gufo tovar kocho nami tovar, right? Where basically any way in which you would have broken it with your person, you're going to break it through your koach, you're still going to be liable. So the Gemara leaves there's a couple of things. Firstly, the Gemara leaves a little bit open as to whether this fits into our Mishnah. It seems like it doesn't fit into our Mishnah, because then the Gemara suggests something else. So why does this not fit into our Mishnah? So presumably it's because, well, I would think the implication is because now we've reached this conclusion, kocho kugufo domi, it means that the person did do all the damage. I.e., it's not a case, once again, it's not a case of doing partial preparation or partial sort of setting up of the damage that was caused, but then being liable for the whole thing. It's not like you know, one digs down to 9 and the other one digs the 10th tefach, and even though they only did a small amount, they're still going to be liable for the whole thing. In this case, they did do the whole thing. 5 people were sitting there, right? And because you, and it wouldn't have broken this bench, and because you came, yes, it's a chiddish, but still, you know, but the fact that you came along and lent on the people, that's what broke the bench. So you did all of the damage. You didn't part of the damage. So therefore, although you're still going to be liable, it doesn't really fit into our Mishnah.
So the better equivalence would be that if the owner of the bench should let it, and then people start dipping in. Would that not be the equivalent of digging down to 9
coffee? So who would be, so where would...
So who would then be liable?
So again, the point, we're looking for a case where you only do part of the damage, and then you're going to be, liable for all of it. So in that case, you'd say either, again, the problem is you're going to end up with one of these still. Or what did we call it? Heichidomi, right? We're going to say if it would have broken on its own, you know, if the owner let it deteriorate to the extent that one person sitting on it is, you know, even though it looks fine, going to break. So then you'd say no one's liable. Or in a sense, right? Or you say no, it was enough, and therefore the person who sat on it is not liable. Sorry, it was strong enough, and therefore the person who sat on it would be liable. My point is, you're still going to end up in this case where you either did all of the damage or you didn't do. You didn't do all of the damage. So yeah, we could come up with lots of. It'd be interesting. Yes, to sort of come up with interesting cases, to see what fits in. But at the very least, as I said, the Gemara already did have this case of 9 tefachim and then down to 10 tefachim, which does fit the Mishnah. All of these other ones, I don't think it's. Maybe we'll try and look at it for next time. But I think you can find, even within each of these, you could sort of make a whole shiur on each of these topics, right? And each of these cases, very interesting to sort of drill down into the details of it, why exactly the person is liable. Certainly this kochel kegufo domi is a big, powerful line to try and figure out what exactly, to me, that's, I haven't spent time looking around to see the explanations of this, but to me, that seems quite a... I guess it, you know, seems relatively obvious, right? The fact that the Gemara seems to think that there would have been an honest suggestion that the fact that it was done through a person's koach, right, that the person leaning on the other 5 would have exempted them, would have been enough removed that they might have been exempt, or that there might have been a joint effort, even maybe I don't know. Unclear exactly what the Havamina is. I think that's just an interesting thing we could look into. But either way, as I said, each one of these could be a whole big discussion in and of itself. The Chazanish apparently discusses it. We'll try and look that up. Mark this down. Okay. So anyway, the Chazanish discusses it, and I will try and look up. Because he points out, they phrase the question interestingly here. What's a classic case of kach is, let's say, throwing something, right? So that's not me. If I throw something, yeah, and then for sure we're liable for that, right? If you throw something and then, and then you cause damage as a result of that, then of course you're going to be liable for that, right? So that's a classic case of kach. So what exactly is the chiddush of this Gemara?
It's action, right? However, whatever mechanism the action is, that is the action that happens. Suppose this 5th person had come along and the seat would have been fine with those 4 people sitting on it.
Right.
And he placed an object on it.
Right.
That caused it.
Right. Very
interesting. He didn't sit on
it. So yeah, it's another good
the action.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. So according to the conclusion of the Gemara is for sure like that. As I said, the Gemara said, Kocha Kugufa, Domi. Yeah, I guess the question is, what exactly is the, when the Gemara says, the Chiddush here, that's really the question of what exactly is. I don't know, we'll see if the Chazanish explains that well. I'll try and look that up another time. Either way, that's the case that's come closest, right? We spent a little while trying to figure that one out, see if it fits into our Mishnah. It for sure does not fit into our Mishnah, but as we said, this person is going to be liable, right? Or it's going to depend, right? If it required all 5, then they're going to split it. If it was just this person who ended up, their weight is what caused the bench to break, it would not have broken otherwise, then he is still going to be liable. And what about if this in this case of hurrying it up, right? This case of hiring it up. So again, Gemara sounds like if it broke sooner, it sounds still like he would have, like it would, they would split it, right? It's a joint effort. That's what it sounds like to me from this Gemara. Right? They in a sense, they try to suggest that we would have got up sooner, but the fact that they didn't get up sooner, right, still means that all six of them were required to actually break this or, you know, cause the damage that broke the bench and therefore going to be all liable again to end up splitting this.
Something because it's observable. I mean, you know, we're saying there is some conflict between negligence in certain situations. Here it's an absolute. Is it because it's so obvious? When he came along, everything was in order until that fifth person or that sixth person did something. If it was still uncertain, you know, for example, let's say number six happened.
Right.
And the bench was fine, quarter an hour, and they all got up.
Got up, what, after, what, it collapsed once they broke? Once, well, sorry, it collapsed once they got up.
Yeah, also. So it was still in one condition, i.e. being a bench, a functioning bench, even though the sixth one sitting down.
Yes, let me understand. Are you asking what about in a case of doubt where you're not sure, basically, whether it was all six of them or whether it was just one of them?
Is it the fact that it is observable that the sixth person caused the breakage that he's liable?
But I don't think it's I don't think it's observable at all. I mean, let's say it happened. The point is, it happens half an hour later. Let's say it happens half an hour later. You know, we have five people sit down at the same time. Let's say for argument's sake, sixth one comes along, and half an hour later, then it breaks. Right, so I don't think that's observable. I don't think that's obvious. The point is, you have someone assess right afterwards, and the assessor says, "Yeah, it would have been fine if it would have been."
It's saying actually because of his action, leaning on someone or sitting down and it broke, he's liable. What I'm saying is, if he's still there, but it only broke.
He has to be still there.
It was his causation. You still got to show it. Is sitting down because it's great.
Yeah, but I'm saying
you show that you can't be liable.
Yeah, exactly. You can't see that. So that's what I'm saying. If it is observable, he sat down when the thing broke, you can say, oh, it was your fault.
You can't necessarily. It might have been, that's my point. It might not have been him. It might have been all of them together. The fact that one person sits down, yeah, it's a bit like correlation and causation. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but the point is, yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, or the, yeah. It would have, he on his own wouldn't have been enough. That's the point. The fact that it happens after the sixth person comes along does not necessarily mean that it's all because of him. Not just additional force, but the fact that he's in a sense preventing the others from getting up, I think is the point there. I think that's the why do I think that? Let me just try. Why?
If they had got up, then the thing would probably have broken. If all he was doing is leaning, one man leaning on five people, was stopping five people getting off the bench.
No, but he puts his weight on it. Yeah.
The bench collapses.
Yeah, he puts his weight on it. Yeah, I don't think it's Yeah, he just comes and lies across all of them or something. Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of thing you can imagine happening at a football match. Yeah, a football match. The sort of thing, you know, the fellow tries to crowd surf or whatever they call it. Yeah, exactly. You know, while people are sitting on the bench. And then, you know, as a result of that, so their whole, yeah. Yes.
I put it in the chat. I put my point in the chat.
We've got a point from the chat here. Might be a defective bench, so the bench maker may be liable too. So the bench maker. Yes, you're right. We're talking about, whenever we have these cases in the Gemara is in a sense simplifying the case. Yes, you know, it's up to every Beis Din to figure out what the facts are. So the Gemara is taking as assumed that the bench was not a defective bench. But yes, Phil makes a good point that you have to assess that as well. And not just the bench maker may be liable. That's number one. Obviously, no one may be liable if, as Andy said, the owner had let the bench get into disrepair. You know, so if the bench had, the bench was a poor bench anyway, so then maybe none of them will be liable. So as I said, yes, you can, you have to add in each of those factors in a real case. But the Gemara is just, I was thinking, taking some of those things for granted in order to sort of simplify this one point, to make the point of kocho kagufo domi in this particular case. Yeah. Okay. What I thought you were going to say, which is an interesting one, is what about in the case of doubt, right? There are some times where you just won't be able to assess perfectly. You know, obviously, as I said, the basin will have to, the basin's responsibility is to assess whether this bench would have broken with five or not. So I believe there's a bit of a discussion as to whether, whether, I think it occurs earlier actually on the case of the animal, right, where you put the final piece onto the animal and something happens to the animal as a result, the straw that broke the camel's back. So there, I believe there's a bit of a discussion as to what about if you're not sure. I think the Rambam says, and certainly this is what makes sense to me, I think he says you do split it. So in a sense, in that suffix case, in that case of doubt, I think you would end up splitting it. But I think there are others who talk about the idea of what's called hamutzi mechaveru olav haraya, that there's a principle in halacha of if I'm trying to get money from you, in a sense, the burden of proof is upon me. So the obvious candidate in this case is the person who puts the final bundle on, and therefore they are the obvious one. And in a sense, if they want to prove that someone else is going to take some of the blame as well, then it's on them to bring the proof, right? They in a sense have to try and prove this beyond the case of doubt. We're unsure, and therefore they would require a little bit more proof to sort of remove the incrimination from themselves. That is an interesting. I think that would be an interesting debate. Sorry.
In the final straw, they're saying if the ox is already unable to move, it's already overloaded.
You mean it's obvious?
Yeah.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. In an obvious case,
straw is not liable.
That's in an obvious case. Yeah. But that's in an obvious case. My point is, let's say it's not obvious. You know, bring it back to the bench case. You know, as I said, the fellow jumps on top of the five people and the bench breaks, or not on top of the five people, comes and sits down and the bench breaks. The point I think that the others are making is that person is the natural finger of blame points towards that person, and they, in a sense, the burden of proof is on them to try and prove that actually it was a joint effort to break this bench. Whereas the Rambam seems to say that in a sense, in the case of doubt, our natural, maybe I'm overstating it, but it sounds to me like when you're talking about a case of doubt, you're saying our natural thing is to say, yes, it was a joint effort, unless we have reason, you know, unless we sort of, but obviously an assessment has to take place. But there are times where we're just not going to be sure. We're not going to make an exact assessment. And in that case, the question, in the case of doubt, as I said, there would be a debate as to whether we say just the last person, and because of this principle of hamutzi mechaveru olav haraya, that there's a natural finger of blame pointing to this one person, and because we don't have a strong proof another way, then they would accept all the blame. Or we say, no, there's a case of doubt, and therefore you're going to split it. Mamanamatul Basafik Yachloku, similar to that sort of idea. Okay. Okay, so back to another case. So Gemara, I think, again, suggests one more. So the Gemara says, Vesuleka. Right, now on to another one. We're now about a third of the way down. Vesuleka Vahaika. Hard to Tanya. This is not a pleasant case, but we'll leave aside the unpleasantries of this, as whenever we're learning Gemara, obviously emotionless, the cool hour of reason and these theoretical cases. But hikuhu asara b'nei adam. So 10 people are beating one person, right? They're hitting him. Be'eser maklos, with 10 sticks. Bein bevas achas, whether it's in one go. Bein bezeachas, whether it's one after another. Umeis, and the person dies as a result of these injuries. Then kulon pturin, right? So they're all potter. They're all going to be exempt. What does that mean? Exempt. They're exempt specifically from mitat betdin, right? From mitat betdin, from the death penalty, which is obviously the ultimate punishment or the ultimate consequence of murder, which is what this is. But because it's a joint effort, so they're going to be not liable for that specific thing. Let's come back to why that is in just a moment. I think again a bit of debate, but But here we're going to have we're going to try and suggest a further example of where a person does part of the damage and yet is going to be liable for all of it. So in that case, as we said, the standard opinion is kulam p'tur. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mezira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mezira says bazeh achazeh ha'acharon chayev. So here we're trying to basically suggest that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is the opinion that fits into our Mishnah. Why? Because he says if it's one after another, right, there's someone taking it in turns, and the last one is the one who strikes the blow, which ultimately kills this person, then that last one, he says, Ha'acharon Chayev, he's the one who's going to be liable for the death penalty, Mipnei Shekirev Es Misasa, because he brought forward this person's death. I was reading this before, but it just struck me that that language is a very interesting language. Shakira versus Misasa, that brought forward the person's death. But anyway. Okay. So the point is that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, this seems to be a classic example, right? 9 people have caused tremendous damage to this individual, but the last one, the 10th one who actually causes the blow which kills them, is going to be liable for the death penalty, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. This seems to be a paradigm, or this seems to fit with the Mishnah's principle of Hicharti b'miktas nizko, even though you only did part of the damage, you're going to be liable kehechsher kol nizko, as though you did all of it, right? So this person's going to be liable death penalty, even though they only did that final blow. So the Gemara responds, Neshikiris Misasa, yes, so the Gemara responds, no. Bekatola lo kamayri, we're not dealing with death. Death is a whole different, when we're talking about murder cases is a different issue, right? We're talking about nazikin here, damages, right? So we're talking about financial damages that are caused by a person. It's just a fundamentally different sort of, thing. The point is, our mission over here is not referring to cases of murder. That's a much stronger thing. It's going to require its own sort of approach. This is this general principle of our Mishnah, that you can have a case where you do partial damage and yet you're going to be liable for all the damage, is just not relevant to the case of murder, whether or not, again, leaving aside that debate between
the finding of fact is the last person is the cause of the death.
Yes.
Then surely it's an open and shut case.
For the last one,
yeah.
That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Right? It's hard to say when you say that. I mean, you have 9 people who've beaten this person. It's hard to say that they have no part in this at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so you can't say that the last one is the.
So,
we're
saying here that he would be liable for, in the case of damage, all the damage.
You mean what? This is not a case of damages. This is a case of murder. That's what the Gemara is responding. Leaving aside the payment issue here, we're talking about, like I said, this is a fundamentally different case, is what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that the Mishnah is just simply not dealing with this case. This is a case of murder, and that's going to require. Yeah, correct. And this is a case of murder, and this is just a different set of rules that we're going to have to follow when we're dealing with those types of cases. I think that's what the Gemara is saying over here. But Katola lo kamari, our Mishnah is not dealing with murder cases. That's a different set of rules we're going to have to follow. The Iba Yisema, the Gemara says, no, maybe it does actually. So maybe this falls back into it. So the reason why this is not included in the Mishnah is not because of the, not because it's murder. Yes, murder maybe would follow the similar rules, but in our Mishnah, we're not trying to do the plugta lokamayu, right? Our Mishnah wants to deal with cases which are generally accepted. This is a very unique opinion, right? This opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is a very unique opinion where he says that everybody else seems to disagree with him. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We're not dealing with a case of debate, right? The first case which we dealt with. So the Gemara says, yeah, but plugta lokamayu, we're not dealing with a case of debate. We're only dealing with something which everyone agrees with. Velo, says the Gemara, we do have a case of debate. Delo karebi, we had this whole discussion. Delo karebi, delo karebi, right? As we said earlier, we had this suggestion that maybe our Mishnah does not fit with the opinion of Rebbe, because in the case of the nine tefachim and then the 10th, Rebbe had said that you do split, or well, depended whether you're talking about damages or death. And therefore, that didn't work according to Rebbe. So the Gemara responds, "De lo ka Rebbe uch rabbanon mok minon." right? We're talking about the local Rebbe, but it's still according to the Rabbanim. We still have in that case, we're talking about a majority opinion, right? Where the Mishnah is fitting with the majority opinion. Over here, to Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira, v'loka Rabbanon, lo mok minon. Here we're dealing with a very minority opinion, right? Here we're saying that it's the what we call the da'at yachid, right? The unusual, even less than minority, the sort of unique opinion. There in that case, then the Mishnah is going to leave that aside. That's not going to be the one that we want to try and fit into our Mishnah. So either it's giving a more fundamental reason why this is not the case of our Mishnah, or it's going to be giving a bit of a technical reason as to why this is not a case of our Mishnah. And as I said, you know, as we've said in the past, each one of these could be their own share. So maybe when we get into Hachovel, the eighth chapter, later on, where we talk about people, human being causing human damage, right? People causing damage to other people, which is obviously the much worse kind of damages than what we're dealing with here. So maybe we'll come back to this case, but just interesting why we say that 10 people who clearly do cause death altogether to this individual are not liable for the death penalty, right? Why that is I think again a subject of debate, and that is, as I said, an interesting thing when we come to that maybe a little bit later on. Oh dear. Yes.
You raised to me a most interesting point that you would take back to the previous lecture. He said they would be he's liable to the final guy for murder if they do the striking one after the other. I'm just wondering why the Gemara didn't think to nobody mentioned the case previously was sitting on the bench. If each person comes along individually, number one sits down, it's fine. Two sits down, four sits down, it's fine. Five comes along and it breaks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what they then say, is that because it's obvious then that number five causes it to break?
No, I don't think it's obvious at all. I think that's the exact same case.
That's the exact same case. I'm wondering why that wasn't mentioned earlier then as a sort of scenario.
Well, because it's the same thing. The point is the sixth one, when the sixth one comes along to sit on the bench, It doesn't matter whether the other five came one after another or sat down altogether, does it?
Well, I don't know. It seems to me fairly clear that if you know they all come along and it's all fine, and then the last one comes along and sits down, he's the one that caused it to break because he sat down. If he hadn't, it wouldn't have broken.
No, I don't think that's the case. But why didn't they get up? Why didn't the other five get up? They all sat there for half an hour. Yeah, they all sat there for half an hour. So why should he accept all the responsibility? It required all six of them. If he would have been there on his own, then he would have been fine. If it required all six of them.
Maybe they have a responsibility to have stopped him sitting down.
Either to stop him sitting down or to stand up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, to leave. I think that's what the Gemara was saying earlier, right? I realize I'm supposed to be repeating the questions for people who for the recording. So the question was, right, in the previous case, if it only broke once the sixth person sat down, then that should be obvious that it was all their fault. So I'm responding that that's not necessarily the case. Firstly, that they, if you make an assessment that it required, in a sense, the weight of all six of them to do that. But furthermore, they could have stood up. That's what the person's responding. Over here, we said, "Velema lahu ilav atun bedidi lo hava misbar." Right? If it was just me on my own, then it wouldn't have broken. That's what the sixth person responds. All right, the bench wouldn't have broken. Rashi says, hey, this is the Rashi right in the middle of the Omad. V'leima lahu, ilav atun badidi, l'chud lo hava misbar. If it was me on my own, then the bench wouldn't have broken. Va'atem, k'she yoshavti, and you, when I sat down, hoya lachem la'amod, you should have stood up. Umid lo amadtem, the fact that you sat, that you stayed sitting, atem kamoni, shivartem, we all did this together, shivartem. Right, this is a joint effort, and therefore we're going to split the damages. The Gabe Mashlim Borla Asara, right, the Rashi compares it to our first case, which you said was not exactly the same. Mashlim Borla Asara, you've put the tenth tefach into this pit. Leko Lakshir Hachi, right, there's no such claim. The Mai Havale Lekama Lemebad, what exactly was the first person supposed to come along and do? Right, the fact that they've now the fact that they have now, you know, they've done nine and then you come along and do the tenth, there's not much they can do about that now, right? The fact that you've done the tenth is really what gives this this pit the power to kill the animal, and therefore you're going to take all the responsibility. Whereas in this case, the sixth person is still only partially responsible. They're still going to have to he's still going to end up splitting it, because the other five, as I said, could have done something that would have prevented the bench from breaking.
They were, as far as it was, passing through their inactivity.
Right.
Not preventing.
Exactly.
Anything. Whereas in the case of the digging, of the
yes.
pit, there's nothing now that
the exactly. can do. Right. Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. Yes.
I suppose he could say to this other guy, don't dig any further.
Well, he wasn't there. I'm assuming he wasn't there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's a probably good place to stop. But I think we've got a few minutes, so we'll jump into the next part, and then we'll start it again next time anyway. Chavti b'tashlumei nezek, right? So this is now coming back to our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Chavti b'tashlumei nezek. The Mishnah said, maybe that wasn't. So the person is, as I said, responsible for all of the damage. Right? It doesn't say, so the Gemara is medayek, right? Notes the textual, textually sensitive to the fact that it didn't just say you are liable for the damages, you are liable for tashlume nezko, for the payment of the damage. Tanina laha, what exactly is this? What exactly does that mean, right? Tanina laha the Tana Rabbanan, right? This is teaching us something based on the teachings of our sages. Tashlumei nezek, what exactly does that mean? Melamed shehaba'alim metaplim b'nevela. This phrase, tashlumei nezek, is saying that basically the owners get to get the carcass itself. So what are we, metaplim b'nevela? What are we talking about? We're talking about a case where, let's say, one ox gores another, right? My ox gores yours, but the carcass is still sitting there, and our carcass is worth a certain amount. Your ox was worth 200 pounds, and now it's worth 50 pounds. You know, the carcass itself is now worth 50 pounds. So I owe you 200 pounds, but 50 pounds of that you can take from the carcass, as it were, right? So the carcass is yours. You can do what you want with it, and therefore I only owe you 150. That's I'm filling in a little bit of the gap. Minohan Nimila, the Gemara wants to know. So the Gemara is basically going to try and prove this from verses. I think it brings at least three different types or different verses to prove the fact that the carcass is going to be owned by the original owners, and that part of the payment, part of the repayment, is going to come back. In a sense, they're just filling up. The Tashlumei Nezek is basically saying you're not liable for all the damage, you're liable for the filling in of the damages, right? The last part of the damages. Obviously, if it's worth nothing, right? If the carcass, I don't know, something happens to it, or if it disappears, then you have to pay the whole thing, right? It doesn't exist. But the point is, if it's there, then that's, that goes to the owners, and you're only paying the rest. Minohan Emili, where do we get this from? Omar Rabbi Ami, the Omar Kra, from the following verse. Make nefesh behema yishalmena. So al tikri yishalmena, ela yashlimena. Don't read it as yishalmena. The Gemara says very often we sort of revowelize a word to sort of give a slight different connotation. So it says you can read this as yashlimena. You have to fill in the rest. Right, i.e., it's not yeshalmen, not you have to pay them back. Make nefesh behema. We're talking about where, in that case, where a person themselves causes damage to an animal, to your property, right? Not where my animal caused damage to your animal, but I myself caused damage to your animal. And in that case, yashlimena, you fill it in, you add on the extra.
Are we going to learn that the person whose animal was damaged is responsible for maximizing, mitigating to the maximum the value he receives, for example, the carcass? In other words, he can't just say, I gave it away for 10 shekels, say, when he could have got 100. So So instead of owning, instead of having to pay the guy.
Right. I mean, they sold it for cheap. That's an interesting question. I think that, again, it's going to be based on the assessment of the basin as to what the value of it is, rather than just giving it away for whatever you want. Right, could have got more for it.
So I'm not liable to make up the extra 90.
Yeah, it's also interesting. I mean, let's come back to... I think the Gemara actually later on, I don't remember it, but I haven't got as far as this, but I think the Gemara just talk about the tircha that's involved as well, you know, to what extent the person, and maybe even the mazik, maybe the person who's liable is the one who's really supposed to do all of that, right? So if that's the case, then what exactly does it mean? It goes to the owner, so maybe in dropping in value and things like that. So let's hold off on that question. It's an interesting question, though. Well, the question was, what if the owner, what if the nizak, right, the person who's had damage caused to them, basically sells the carcass on the cheap, and where it would have been worth £50, they only sell it for a tenner. So does the mazik then have to pay that extra 40 or not? It's an interesting question. Let's hold off on it, and we'll come back to it when we get further into this. Okay. So that's one verse. Okay. So Rav Kahana suggests that it's from this. Sorry, not Rav Kahana. Rabbi Ami suggests that it's from this from person causing damage to an animal, and the Torah says Yashli Mena Filidin. Rav Kahana Omar. Let's try and get through all three of the verses. And as I said, we'll start it again next week. Rav Kahana Omar Mehacha. He suggests a different verse. Im Torof Yitoref Yivi'ehu Ad Hatarefa Lo Yishalim. Sorry, Yevi'ehu ad ha-tereifah lo yishalem. So if you cause this damage, Yevi'ehu ad ha-tereifah lo yishalem. So I think that's talking about in that case, I think is referring to a case of something happens to the animal. Sorry, or not something happens to the animal, happens to the animal while it was being guarded by a shomer, right? By somebody who was looking after it, supposed to be looking after it. So ad ha-tereifa lo yishalem, until the tereifa lo yishalem. So the Gemara clarifies what exactly does this verse mean. Ad ha-tereifa yishalem, up until the value of the carcass, that's how much you have to pay. Tereifa adzma lo yishalem, but the value of the carcass you don't pay, i.e. that's excluded from the value of the damages that you have to pay back. So you have one source from a person causing damage to an animal, one put source from a shomer, from a damage that was caused to an animal that was under my care, right? And in that case, again, the Torah seems to say that the carcass goes to the owner, and the rest of the payment is the mazik's payment is based on the rest. Chizkia Omar. Now we have a third case, and we'll stop with this. The mehocha v'hames yehielo. So this is the one we started with. Which is an animal goring another animal. So my animal causes damage to your animal or kills your animal. Then v'hamesi yelo, the verse ends off and says that the carcass, right, the dead body seems to be v'hames yehielo will be for him le nizak, right? So the Gemara clarifies that means for the nizak. That's what it's referring to, and therefore we have three different sources from the Torah as to why the carcass goes to the nizak, the person who's had damage caused to them, and the damager only has to pay the rest of the value, excluding the value of the carcass. So we'll start with that again next week. We'll go through the three sources and figure out why the Gemara is going to discuss why we need three sources, and you know all the various elements involved in that. Okay, hopefully we'll do 2 weeks' time. As I said, I'll confirm.